Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, hello, everybody. It's not Steve. It's Becky Brown. And I am joined today by Mylan Yurkovich and Dr. Alice Benton. Hello in California.
Hey, Becky. Hi. Great to be with
you. It's great to be with you, Becky. Thank you.
Listen, I am coming to you today from our Texas office, and I'm here with the call center staff. Where, you know, I'm just so excited to be around my fabulous coworkers. But you know,
is there going to be cheering in the background? I mean, with the staff?
No, there? I asked if they were going to, like, you know, photobomb the set, but yeah. They are not going to do that. They're busy helping people.
Okay,
we are here to help people today too. And I, you know, for you listeners, I want you to call us 1-800-229-3000. We're going to be taking your calls for an hour, and you've got some of the wisest people in the world on the other end of that line, with Mylan and Alice, and I know that it's going to make a difference in your life. And with that, you know, one of the things that we talk about a lot, especially Mylan, you and Kay and the ministry that you do, we talk about attachment wounds. And, you know, you may hear us, the listeners may hear us talk about, you know, the different styles and what happens. But, you know, I would love for you to give, it'll be like the 2-minute version, Mylan, of what are attachment wounds and how do they impact us?
Well, I love that question because who invented human attachment? God did. Mm-hmm. He invented the birthing process and then the dependency of that infant upon the mother caregiver and the nurturance, and the baby's brain is shaped throughout that experience. Incredibly so, Becky and Alice, in the first 2 years, the brain is shaped, and in the neural networks of the brain, the definitions for the child, even though they can't even speak yet, they don't have language, this is pre-verbal, the definitions of self, other, and we are established. I can make a noise, other, mom, dad will see me, pick me up, we are better than me alone. And so a bonding experience takes place, and along with that, through, let's say, the child becoming verbal, and then preschool and through 6 years old, let's say, the child learns because of the parent's influence. The parent regulates the child. So the child is regulated by the parent in a good attachment experience, and the child learns to regulate themselves by the time they go away to school. And that's a secure attachment. Now, as all of our listeners know, and you know, Becky, and Alice, yes. I know, we all know not everybody had that kind of an experience. And so we have, instead of secure attachment, we have insecure attachment, and we have the emotionally avoidant male or female. We have the people pleaser male or female.
Right here.
Okay. No, recovering.
I see that hand.
Recovering yes. Former version. The vacillator, which is in the literature, is called ambivalent or preoccupied. Preoccupied because they're always are hypervigilant, trying to figure out relationships. And then the chaotic controlling family, where the child is in danger and where there's pain.
And Mylan, wouldn't you say that only a minority of families are able to establish secure attachment?
Yes, I would, absolutely. You know,
yeah, that's the human condition.
That's the point, Becky. It is the human condition. God invented something, but it got broken. And
it did.
A lot of parents do their very best Now, the great news about the attachment research is, and the concept of neuroplasticity, is we can all grow and change, even as
Amen.
Adults, and we can
That's
recover
right.
from that.
And New Life can help you do that. We're going to be taking your calls, 1-800-229-3000. Thanks, Mylon.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You just had a 2 minute and plus seconds of some wisdom coming from Mylon. But if you want to know more, you know, we have How We Love that you can, you know, get a hold of. You just call on us and we'll get it to you. But, you know, join us at the Intimacy and Marriage Workshop in February. Mm-hmm. And you and your spouse can really learn how your attachment styles have impacted your marriage. You know, I was just at the Restore Workshop in D.C. We just heard a commercial about it. And I'm telling you, the healing that takes place and the hope that these women went home with was really indescribable. And one of our attendees said, "I often felt the cost to attend was way too much. After attending, I find the value to be priceless." Mm. And so I just want to encourage you, whether it's Restore or Every Man's Battle, take the step to invest in healing your life. And we want to be there for you. Right now,
hey,
we're
Becky,
going to be... Yes, Mylon.
Restore, for the people that may be new to the show, is for women who have experienced betrayal sexual indiscretions in their home, and they're trying to recover from
yes.
the horrible, horrible loss that betrayal brings. And
that's
so
right.
We want to help those women, and this is what that's all about. Every Man's
that's
Battle
true.
Is to help men who are stuck mm-hmm. in the addictions of sexual just engrossed and preoccupied with sex. Mm-hmm. And pornography, et cetera, et cetera. So we really want to help people here at New Life. And I appreciate mm-hmm. you bringing those up, Becky.
Yes, I love it. And we look forward to seeing you there. We're going to go to Janae, who's calling us from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, listens on NRB. And we're glad you called, Janae. How can we help you today?
Hello. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm just struggling with rejection issues, overeating, and I just want help with forgiving. Like, it's not that I don't want to forgive. I know that's the first step of, realizing you need to forgive because Christ forgave us. But I'm struggling with, I'm constantly offended. I'm constantly being in situations where I'm being heavily persecuted. And I don't know if God has put me in a situation to refine me, allow me, maybe He's trying to show me how to take it patiently. So I have tried to reconcile with some of these individuals and try to give right letters and stuff like that. Sometimes these individuals seem to almost continue. I can't say if they're laughing. I don't know if they are, but the way they behave is still we know she's going to, still do kind things for us. So basically it's like rejection issues. I'm highly isolated. It's just a lot of that. And again, I don't know if God is allowing this season right now. I know Joseph went through it and different ones in the Bible. So I look at those stories for hope. But I externally obey God. He says, bless your enemies, do good to them and stuff like that. But internally, I'm still brooding and it's causing me to overeat and it's affecting my health. And I do want to forgive.
Janae, would you tell us about one of the primary relationships where you're being continuously injured and you're struggling to maintain forgiveness of that person?
Well, there's many of them, but I have a sibling, and I care for his children, and sometimes it's just I don't want to be careful about saying that just because I know I'm on the radio. I don't want, God forbid, someone to hear. But I'll just mention there's been family members and stuff like that I'm a lot of times I'm asked to do things to help out and serve and stuff like that. But a lot of times it's like they still don't want to have any anything to do with me, but it's just like, you know.
And do you feel like people take advantage of your generosity and in your strong faith, mm-hmm. do you struggle to know how much am I being asked to give and to serve and to submit versus am I supposed to stop any of this or protect myself differently?
Right. Yeah, I'm really struggling with boundaries, like knowing, like, what should I be saying yes to? What should I? Because, like, I do know that God, you know, he doesn't say that we're going to serve, like, only the people that are easy to serve. Like, you know, that's what Jesus was, you know, he lived the life of, you know, serving those who hated him. But I'm just trying to, like, I'm struggling a little bit with boundaries and knowing what to say yes to, what to say, like, who to prioritize and stuff like that. Like, okay, am I doing this just to people please? Mm-hmm. Because I want a relationship with them, or am I doing this because, you know, I'm trying to figure out that. And
Janae, you're asking the right questions to try to examine your giving, because we can get mm-hmm. sucked into unhealthy giving that ends up burning us, and it creates a resentment and even can create an avoidance and anger within us towards the people to whom we're giving. And the intention is good to give, to be generous, but the outcome over the long term can be very unhealthy if the giving becomes toxic. When you consider saying no to some of the requests you receive, what happens in your thought process, in your actions, when you think you should say no, but it's probably quite difficult to? What happens inside of you?
When I think I should say no?
Yes.
And, you know, well, so Janae, let's hear what Mylan has to say about it. Mylan, what would you say about boundaries when you feel like you're being imposed? And you're trying to be a good Christian. That's what I hear Janae saying. How do we go forward in good boundaries and good relationships?
Well, Janae, I think I'm going to start in a very different place. How old were you when you first felt, these are your words, rejected, persecuted, isolated, internally brooding, overeating, and struggling with boundaries? How long ago do you recognize of yourself that you felt these things?
Probably as I think about it, maybe as a young age, because most of the individuals on my one side of my family, they aren't as they believe in God, but they're not really like, I guess they kind of look at me as like being like, you know, religious or whatever like that. So that's where a lot of the persecution.
Okay. Well, see, you're calling people that are either disagreeing or treating you in a manner, you're calling it persecution and rejection. And then you also said, I'm isolated. And then you mm-hmm. said, I'm internally brooding, which means you're over and over and over again, you're thinking through these stories. And how hard was your childhood, Janae?
I thankfully have both my parents, and they've been really encouraging to me. So it wasn't like I didn't have anyone to encourage me, but it's just like, you know, of course everybody wants a, you know, tight relationship with their family and stuff like that. So I was always like, seemed to be different, huh?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you felt you were somehow different, but the bottom line here is you're isolated, you're internally brooding about situations, and now you're overeating. So mm-hmm. what, and you struggle with boundaries, and what all this means is there's a lot of insecurity here, Janae.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so insecurity is really what you want to work on. There's always going to be people around you, Janae, that are going to treat you not as nice as you would like, or they give you kind of the cold shoulder, or they're sharp with you, or they can have moments where they're unkind. And it's easy to spiritualize it and say it's all because of my Christianity. And we have to stop and ask, it's easy, we must stop and ask, Janae, is it that, my Christianity they're rejecting, or my insecurity is beating me up on the inside? See?
Yeah, definitely could be that too.
Okay, well, see, I love that. Okay, I love that you can say it could be that too. Yep. You see, it's it a lot of times it's D, all the above, you know, A, B, C, and D.
Yeah, I've, there's a couple of things I think it could be as well. Like, I mean, I would say, like, I'm constantly trying to, like, that's why I'm maybe calling today. I'm trying to ultimately see within me. Like, I said, I know God, he possibly could. I know that when we're in situations like this, God is trying to reprove us as well. So it's like, I just need help with how to do it. Like, I know that I'm supposed to not be offended.
Okay, so, you know what you're doing, Janae? You're using spirituality to defend everything. And the problem with that is, yes, there is the issue of spiritual opposition and people and what God's doing to refine you. But it's a different story if you have security in your life or whether you're insecure and you're isolated. And that means you're not spending time with people like you should. These are your words. And so...
It's not that I don't want to. I don't want to. Like I said, I even do things...
Janae, here's I know you mentioned that twice now, that you've written letters to try to connect with people, but something else is going on, and on a phone call 3,000 miles away, it's hard for me to be able to, you know, exactly pinpoint that with you, but...
So what are some steps?
So here's some steps. Here's some steps. Yes, it's spiritual, but I want you to find a good therapist that can help you talk through your insecurity and your brooding and how you interpret things as rejection and persecution. The whole world, it can be rejecting. And then the internal brooding. Why do I review and rehearse everything over and over and over and over and over again? That just takes so much energy, Janae. And then I overeat to compensate. And so... really, I would start there and find somebody that can help you with that.
Alice, do you have anything?
Becky
you
and Alice, add? What else would you add?
Janae, I think you and I are a lot alike. We were talking about attachment style at the opening of the show, and I said, I'm a people pleaser and I'm a conflict avoider. I'm much more comfortable giving yeses than I am giving nos. And I think I'm called to say yes to everything anybody asks of me, because isn't that what a good Christian does? But it doesn't work long term to do that. And you suspect that, which is why you're calling. So I think your no has to grow and get bigger and stronger, because then our yeses become more free and more generous when we're able to decipher when to say no. But to do that, you probably do need to seek relationship with healthier people. I think that you hope that if you give enough to your family, they will love you and accept you. But time and time again, you experience the opposite. And so a no to them is very scary, because it probably means rejection and disappointment. And so people like us, Janae, we have to develop and find, establish healthy relationship with people probably outside of our family. And then we practice our no's with them. And as we grow in the strength and ability to do that with people that won't reject it, they'll help us, they'll practice it, then we become better able to decipher how to handle relationships with people that take advantage of us and probably don't appreciate how generous we are. They just keep taking from us.
Yeah. You know, Janae, here's the thing that I learned this weekend at the Restore Workshop. Boundaries are based on our internal beliefs. And a lot of times we try to...
A lot of times, I think Becky was going to say, we try to safeguard relationship by giving more than we maybe have on the inside or have even in our resources. But the hope is that we'll please people into staying with us. But that kind of giving becomes disingenuous, because it's more than we have to keep giving.
And you know, Alice, I think a key thing here is that sometimes we have to practice and find out that people outside our home are safer. Like you were saying, I want to add to that and say, I have people in my family and have over the years that just simply don't like me.
Yes, and I do too.
and I have more family and friends that are closer to me outside my family than I do within. And so, Becky, I think you were also saying that if we don't have the internal strength to set a boundary, we're not going to be able to do them externally. We have to do it on the inside.
And I also want to invite Janae to join us for our Lose It for Life workshop that's going to be in January. Oh, it's online, and this could be a great way for you to begin this journey of knowing the yes and the no, to find your herd of people who will be connected and supportive, and we'll get you connected to a counselor. We'll be right back after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. Sorry for that technical glitch, but you know, we are always here for you. So give us a call at 1-800-229-3000.
Well, at least one of us is, or two
of
us.
You're right. I know. I'm slacking. What can I say?
No, but it's a technical glitch. You wouldn't do
that,
Becky.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, no way. Not in the least bit. But you know what? There's lots of ways that you can connect with us. We have a free app that you can download, and you can listen to the show. But also, we have lots of tips, sheets, and resources there. If you're Club New Life, you can listen to your videos there or watch the videos there. We also are on YouTube. I know I say this every time I'm on the radio, but I love our YouTube family because that's where I watch when I am not doing the radio. And I just wanted to give a shout out to everybody there. And if you are watching on YouTube, give us a like, subscribe to the show. And that helps so many people, so many more people find out about New Life, and it could change their lives. And so I just want to encourage you to do that. Now we're going to go back to the calls, and we are going to talk to John, who's calling us from Pensacola, Florida, and listens on WTRJ. Hi, John. Thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Well, I've got a six-year-old boy, and he's a step-grandson recently, and he's still at six, and he's embarrassed about it. He knows he shouldn't, but he soils his pants, you know, or wets his pants. And, you know, I don't know that it's a physical issue, but just wondering if you would have some advice on what his parents could maybe do to help him get control.
Okay, well, we'll do our best. Alice or Mylon, who wants to start?
John, would you tell us more of the backstory of what this boy has been through and how he became your step-grandson?
Yes. His dad walked out when he was two. And, of course, I think since then he's been, you know, doing the every other weekend thing, and then time in the summer, that kind of deal, back and forth between mom and father. And now my son has recently become his stepdad and is doing a great job, I think, bringing some stability into his life that way. But he still has to go back and forth. But as far as I know, that's the only... And that's a big thing, I know, even for someone at 2 years old. But the only traumatic thing that I'm aware of is taking place in his life.
I'm glad that you said only and then acknowledged only, and yet enormous, that this boy's family life was just demolished. And even the acquisition of your son as his father, which is also a great thing, is probably very unsettling for him, despite how good it is, because his life has been destabilized for almost the majority of his life. And so I think you're on the right track with this, that there is an emotional influence on his physical problems that he's going through. We call it psychosomatic, when our body is not functioning in the way that it should, or we're having odd physical symptoms. They are often a manifestation of the emotional disturbance that's happening on the inside.
That's so true, Alice. Yeah. Okay, so what is something that he can do maybe to help him along, or, you know, what would be some steps for him?
Well, Becky, if I may, I want to add one more thing.
Go right ahead.
Well, listen, John, I appreciate how you presented this, but I want to expand it just a little bit more. Prior to the two-year mark of your grandson, your step-grandson, there was friction in the family. the family was not healthy because the husband walked out. And then after the husband walks out, your new your daughter-in-law is in a position where she's an emotional wreck because her husband walks out of the house.
Sure.
And what children do is they absorb the emotional atmosphere of the house. They absorb whatever is going on emotionally. They can't make sense of it cognitively and say, well, this is that, or this is going to happen, I'll be okay about this or that. Mm. They derive their personal emotional regulation and physiological and bodily regulation from their parents. Now, all of a sudden, your son walks in. He could be a really great guy, but now he's got two dads. You know, he's got, where does his loyalty go to? He's conflicted. And then I don't know what the relationship is between your new daughter-in-law and her former husband and what the child has to go through and what the friction is like in between. So here's my bottom line. He's been through a lot for 6 years. Okay. If you don't have that large, overall, comprehensive view of what your new step-grandson is going through, it's easy to say, well, what's wrong with him? You know, why is he soiling his pants and wetting his pants? The family, the new family, needs to be in a counseling together with a therapist, and they need to really begin to understand, Becky, to answer your question, and help the child understand and see that there is security and love around him and be able to nurture him and win him over emotionally. Okay, and then even prepare him for the times away with his dad. And then, John, we have no idea what life is like with his dad.
Mm-hmm. Right.
See, when he's away from
mom. Yeah, I'm a little concerned about
that. Oh, of course.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're going to go to a break. You can hear the music, but I want you to hold on, John, because I think Alice has some more to say, and I definitely have something to add to the conversation. But, you know, I'm so grateful that you are mindful of this boy's need, and we're going to help you as we can.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We're glad you joined us. And if you have a question for us, you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. We are taking callers and would love for you to join us right now. We are finishing a conversation that we started with John, who's a very concerned grandfather about a new grandson. And, you know, Alice, I want you to start. I'll finish. But, you know, I'm just so grateful for the loving heart that you have towards him and your concern, and we want to help you. So, Alice, what would you like to add?
Thank you.
Well, John, Mylan and I were both laughing and groaning off air because we can commiserate with our children that we are raising, have raised, at how crazy making this process can be. And I think the best thing we parents can do is actually prepare our own hearts and minds, because the more emotionally stable we are, the more securely attached, as Mylan was teaching us, the better able we are to handle the crazy making things our kids do, from toilet training to behavioral problems to rebelliousness. When we parents have a shalom in us, a peace within us, then we can better handle the ups and downs. So I would first and foremost advise your son and his wife to work on handling their own emotions in general. And then I have a couple specific recommendations. A medical review should take place because sometimes it is a medical issue. Yeah. The emotional side affects it, but there can be a medical issue with resolution. My son and I went through this process, my husband and son and I, and there was a medical issue, and there was medication to take, there was a procedure to go through, and that helped clear things up. There are some techniques to use, like a bell and pad. It's a system you use in bed at night that wakes the child up and teaches them body regulation. The same system can be used. Uh-huh. It's actually inserted into the child's underwear, and there's an alarm that goes off, a vibration that goes off to alert the child, all right, your body's getting ready to go to the bathroom. So it teaches them that way to faster recognize their body's system. But I would also highly recommend avoiding punishment. Mm-hmm. That's one of the worst things we do, and traditionally that's been the method to take. Using a reward system rather than a punishing system much more motivates and builds relationship to help the child through this process.
Yeah, I was going to mention all of those physical things as well, but one more thing too, John, is his diet. Because when you combine the stress that he's under, and I don't know what, you know, what their diet is. And, you know, I'm not talking, I mean, but a lot of us don't eat the way that we should. But I love what you were just saying, Alice, too, because the rhythms of the body for a six-year-old who's been in upheaval and maybe some conversations about, I think the whole family, Mylan, you said that this family needs to be with a counselor. I think the dad, everybody, you know, all the adults that are in the scene need to be sitting with somebody who can come up with a plan of this is how we're going to do this, because that's the unfortunate fallout.
I totally agree, Becky. And I was telling Alice at the during the commercial break that regulation of the whole mm-hmm. body, emotionally, physically, physiologically, et cetera, starts from your mouth to your bottom. I mean, some mm-hmm. people, and we mm-hmm. just talked to someone earlier on the show that, well, they'll overeat when they're stressed, or the emotional mm-hmm. dysregulation causes them to overeat. Some people mm-hmm. undereat, and they have eating disorders. And then you just name the gut right. issues from stem to stern, fore and aft, as I told Alice, that
it's the truth. Know,
it, we have our gut is a place where we show our stress and where mm-hmm. dysregulation manifests mm-hmm. itself in dozens and dozens, I could say hundreds of different ways.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Our gut actually has a neurobiology of its own.
Yes. Like,
you know, it's not just in the brain, it's in the gut.
And it's our second brain.
Also, exactly, and it's so important. So I'm glad you called, John. Do you guys have a recommendation as far as a book for him?
I want How We Love Our Kids, because learning how to speak about emotions, to resolve distressing emotions, will be key for the whole family.
And I love that.
And to imagine, along with that, Alice, that there are a lot of emotional distressing moments the child has.
Yeah.
You know, that he's adjusting to, so.
Well, we will send that to you, John, and I'm so glad you called. We're going to go to talk to Larry, who's calling us from Norfolk, Virginia, listens on WAVA. And hi, Larry, I'm glad you called. How can we help you today?
Well, I wanted to get y'all's input on how to handle something with my grandson. His mom, who was my daughter, she passed away suddenly this past July on the 15th of a drug overdose.
I'm so sorry.
And well, thank you very much. But anyway, I seem to be the only one that's really grieving. He's internalizing everything. I mean, I don't see him but on the weekends. He lives with his dad and his grandmother from his dad's side, which, you know, they give me, you know, all the access to him I want, excuse me. But when I do try to ask him, you know, hey, do you want to talk about your mom? It's just a very stern, no, pop, I don't want to talk about her.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he's hurting, but from what I understand, he hasn't even cried.
Mm-hmm.
A bit about his mom, and I know they were very close. So I don't know whether I should try to approach the subject at all and just let him bring it up when he wants to bring it up, or to continually ask him over and over again, hey, would you like to talk to your mom? Because I've told him, you know, hey, look, you can bring it up to me at any given time you want to, whenever you want to talk. Just please let me know.
Mm. Well, Larry, I'm so glad you called.
Right thing or the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to find out. I think it's a complex situation. Mylon, let's start with you. What would you offer Larry about this connection with his grandson?
Well, Larry, how old is your grandson?
He's 12.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So he is at that age where he's pre-adolescent, and they start to, they're not always the most disclosing with you when they're that age. And it kind of gets worse of 13, 14, 15, 16. And then they open up later. Okay. So I listen, Larry, I love your heart and I love what you're trying to do with him. I would sort of change my phraseology. Do you want to talk about your mom? Do you want to talk about your mom? Do you want to talk about your mom? He's not going to know what to do with that. If you ask him more direct questions, tell me some of the feelings you're feeling today. It's not specified about his mom. Or reflect to him what his face looks like. You look sad. Mm. Or you look, I haven't seen you smile all day. Tell me what you're feeling today. Just give me three words and we'll stop right there. You know, I had to do that with my sons and daughters when they were teenagers, and they didn't like that idea. They would go, Dad, you're so stupid to come up with feelings and emotions. And I'd say, well, you know, you can't have the keys to the car until you give me those three mm-hmm. feelings. So I would just be gentle with him. And then the other thing you may want to do with him is say, you know, and you could do this. You could say, guys, grandson, I just saw a really cute picture of your mom when she was your age. Can I show that to you? Would you be willing to look at your mom when she was 12? And, you know, just go around in a more indirect way to deal with emotions and other ways to possibly evoke those emotions with a picture, anything that you could to remind him of mom. Mm-hmm. He's shut down. Now, the possibility is his dad's also shut down. The possibility is the other part of his family is shut down. If he's never cried, we also have to ask, what are the other influences with the other half the family?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I love that, Mylon. Grief is so tricky.
Oh,
Alice, what would you offer, Larry?
Larry, just the fact that you are so emotionally aware and
yes.
you're consistently present, pursuing your grandson's heart will make all the difference, even if he never talks about his mom. But I think that Mylon is right to not give up, but to adjust your strategy. And I'll tell you, when my mom passed away a few years ago, I think I'm fairly in touch with my emotions, and I cry easily. I didn't cry for a year. I couldn't make myself cry, even though I felt sad about it. So people's grief shows up in all different kinds of odd and unusual ways, and it's not uncommon to not cry for quite a long time. Your willingness to talk every once in a while about how you're feeling about her and that you miss her, you're sad. If you happen to cry, to not hide it from him and to demonstrate that a strong, healthy man can be aware, needs to be aware of his feelings and to allow them to flow. I'd also ask you to play with him, to be available to play with him regularly, even if it's playing video games, playing a board game with him, being at his sporting events, keep showing up. Because as your stable presence is there, he will make use of it, I believe, once he feels ready to talk about his mom.
Yeah, it's great. We're going to send you a copy of the... Oh.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I was going to say before we went to the break that we're going to send Larry a copy of our Life Recovery Grief Workbook, and you can get a copy of that as well if you want to by calling us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. But, you know, we do so many things to help people find transformation in your life, and normally this is about the time in the radio where you'll hear Larry, our president, come in and say, okay, you need to give to the ministry because we're doing things to help people. And so today, instead of Larry, you're going to hear from me, and I want to encourage you. You know, I hear so many people say what a difference New Life has made in their life, whether it's been through the radio or a workshop. It's like the testimony I read earlier from the woman at Restore. She thought that it was expensive, but once she went, the value is priceless. And I can say that we are helping people transform their lives through the power of God's word, through godly counselors across the country, our workshops, our life recovery groups. There's just so many ways that we want to see people find the healing and the hope that they can have in their life. And you can be part of that. We have a great group of monthly supporters in our Club New Life family. And right now we're actually offering a, you know, if you join Club New Life, you could get a choice of one of the Bibles behind me, the one-year Bibles, either men's or women's. And Steve did the extra writing for the men, and his wife Misty did the ones for women. And if you are already Club New Life, you can add some to your gift and get those Bibles, get a choice of Bibles. But it's really not about the gift. It's what you're giving, and it will make a difference in the lives of so many people. And so I just want to encourage you, if you haven't given, please make that decision today to join the New Life family in helping people find transformation. That's a lot, isn't it?
It is. But Becky, it's true. And I think it's important to understand, and for the listeners to understand, that Christian radio, we pay for the airtime. So what they're listening to, which feels and appears to them as it's for free, it's not. There's a lot of money that is required to put this show on the air all over the United States, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And people need to know that. And it's a well-run ministry. Becky, I had one more thing Alice and I were talking about at the break, and that is that Larry said that his grandson, who's 12 years old, was close to his mom, but his mom died of an overdose. Now, she was an addict. Okay, let's be pretty clear about that. She was addicted to drugs somehow, some way. And at some level, we don't know what the grandson is feeling, because he lost a mom that she wasn't, he said she was close to her, but that's only possible part of the time. If a person is addicted, they don't have the parent full time.
Right. I was thinking that same thing. And if we would have talked together, I would have said the trauma of losing your mom is one thing, but the story of losing her to an overdose, and that's the story he has to tell when
that's
people
right.
say what happened. So we really want to give him support, and I think you guys did that today. And, you know, if this is part of somebody who's listening today, if that's part of your story, we can help you. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to another caller who's calling us from, it's JB, who's calling us from New London, Connecticut. Listens on Sirius XM. Hi, JB. Thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Hi, I'm really glad to get to talk to you guys. I really appreciate your input.
Great.
My wife and I have a 33-year-old son that we have three kids, and he's our youngest. And from an early age, we kind of knew that he had some learning disabilities, but it wasn't anything like really glaring other than the fact that he was always a little bit behind everybody else. You know, very, you know, athletic, good-looking kid, always very popular in school. But in his, you know, he internalized a lot of things that we didn't necessarily know at the time, and it's all kind of coming out now. We live on the East Coast. He's on the West Coast, and he's gone through a really difficult relationship with somebody that he was engaged to. And it didn't work out. And so we get calls from him all the time, just incredibly depressed, feeling like he's a loser, feeling like, you know, no, everybody, he's a joke. He went out there, he's a photographer, and he went out to do fitness photography. And so he's been out there on his own. He never had a job here, a serious job on the East Coast, and he went out there And we were really quite proud of him actually making that move, going out there without really knowing anybody. And but it's just been an absolute battle trying to, you know, fitness photography, if you know anything about it, it's pretty scantily clothed mm-hmm. women. And he had an issue with pornography earlier, which we didn't know how bad it was. Mm. Maybe as parents, we didn't want to know how bad it was. And so we really struggled, and my wife has a lot of physical issues that okay. I believe could even be attributed to contributing
so,
just the stress level.
So JB, we only have a few minutes left, and I want to give Alice and Mylan some time to work with this situation. So Alice, do you want to begin?
Well, JB, if you could come to what your direct question is for us, how do you want us to help today?
We don't know. We're frustrated. We haven't been able to find counseling for him because we feel like we're not equipped. And we also know that there's something needing. We need help. We need to know. I mean, God's dealing with us as well as he's dealing with our son. And so I guess my question is, him being on the West Coast, us being on the East Coast, when we talk to him, it's continuously a circular pattern where he will just repeat the same things over and over again. We feel like we make some headway, and then he's right back to where he was. And
okay.
We just don't know how to help him anymore.
So we do have a couple of solutions for you. We have a network of counselors that spans from the West Coast all the way to the East Coast, and it will probably be beneficial for both you and your wife to be receiving therapy so that you can have guidance on how to handle the pain he's bringing to you, because it overwhelms you and may be physically affecting yes. your wife. And so you may have mm-hmm. to gracefully, gently limit how much you're able to listen to his pain. Mm-hmm. Listening for too long to an adult child can actually help keep them stuck, because he's probably feeling some comfort from you. And if he's receiving enough comfort from you, he might not have the motivation to access comfort from a therapist who would be challenging and directive and help him to look at his side of the street and why he's in some of this pain. And so
okay. We
can connect you with counselors for both sets of the family.
All right. I want to give Mylan a few seconds before we run out of time.
Well, your son is stuck in a loop. Okay, JP, you said that. He says the same thing over and over and over again, which is what people who are anxious and depressed do. They can get stuck in a loop, and they don't know how to get themselves out of it. So I love what Alice said. On the East Coast, we have a lot of counselors with the New Life Network, and we also have here on the West Coast as well. And so maybe one of the things you could do, JB, is say, Mom and Dad want to pay for your counseling. If money is difficult, we want to help you. And if pornography is still an issue, we're going to pay for you to go to Every Man's Battle to mm-hmm. try and help you. Okay? So we want to encourage that, and it's going to have to be somebody outside ourselves. Becky?
Yeah, I was going to say Every Man's Battle would be a good choice too. JB, hang on, and we'll send you a copy of that, but also get you the information, because we're going to be doing Every Man's Battle in December 2nd in Dallas. And so I do think that would be helpful on so many levels. But, you know, I love that our calls today were our family members reaching in to find out how we can help those that we love so much. And, you know, New Life is here for you to do that. So give us a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE for those kind of things. Thank you so much, Alice and Mylan. I appreciate your wisdom. Thank you, callers. And join us next time. If you need anything in between, give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.